Hello, my name is David Thompson from the Fraser Valley in British Columbia. Today is August the 11th of 2021. For those of you that are new, I just briefly want to mention that I am here to speak as the oracles of God. What the Holy Spirit is saying to the churches at this particular time, especially in the United States, which is the epicenter of a major crisis that affects the whole world. Of course, I myself live in the Fraser Valley in British Columbia, and so this message is to the churches in Canada and throughout the world as well. What I do is I trust with great reverence in the providence of God to lead me by the casting of lot to two different chapters. Time and time again, those chapters do confirm one another way beyond coincidence as to what God is wanting me to speak on. That is to facilitate speaking as the oracles of God, as it says in 1 Peter 4:11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. And so I seek to speak out of a heart set and a mindset of worship, because God's word commands us to minister that way. And those that are especially in leadership shouldn't just be getting up and having some kind of program. They should know what God is wanting to say for that particular time that the sheep need. It says concerning that in Matthew 24, that blessed is that servant whom when his Lord cometh shall find so doing, what? Ministering to the sheep their portion in due season. I am seeking to do that. The word of God says, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy in Revelations 19:10. It is out of worshiping God in great humility and in spirit and in truth that we are filled with the Spirit to overflowing. And when we worship God in that way, the Spirit of God begins to speak out of us, whether it's a song or a prophetic song, or a testimony, whatever it is. And it is the Spirit of God that takes us beyond ourselves to speak to one another the words that is Christ-centered spirit and life. And so, in the providence of God, I want to share with you what I received today by the casting of lot using two independent random apps to get two chapters that would confirm one another. I know the days when I'm not led by God to speak, because usually in those days it doesn't work. But those are the days I've already planned not to speak, but I still want to have my time in the Word. Although they are significant chapters, particularly for me personally. But today, I've been impressed to preach the Word of God. Now, before I share from the Word of God, I always also, by the casting of lot, choose a hymn from a very large hymn book that has 1,080 hymns throughout the ages, and also from the underground church in China, a movement that was there under Watchman Nee. Sometimes I choose from a group of 177 hymns that I personally have recorded from various congregations that I worshipped in the past, one particularly that was very gifted in music and in worship and in moving in the spirit in worship. But today it's going to be from the hymn book. I don't know these hymns myself, because many of them are not hymns that I've ever heard, because there's so many hymns in the book. And this is one that I've never heard before, but it's amazing how I can type them into YouTube and the people that part of this movement that I was in years ago that had that wonderful hymn book, they have it all organized up there so I can find them. I just have to know the right way to put the words of the title of that hymn and the hymn number into the hymn book. So it's kind of nice. And so I want to share and sing a song that is also in God's providence, the song that's to go along with the message. I don't know fully what I'm going to speak on. I feel very helpless sometimes, because sometimes the chapters are a lot more general as far as not so crystallized as a topic. So first of all, let's sing that hymn that I got today, which I've never heard myself, but I want you to sing along with me, this hymn. So it begins. I think we better put this to the beginning here. It doesn't look like it's there. Cleansed by thy blood and quickened at thy call, flow through me, Lord, utterly abandoned to thy dear service, great, high or small. Through me, Lord, with overflowing fullness, make me to know thine own deep love for souls. Work in me, Lord, a faith that moveth mountains, as power almighty power being holds. Through me, Lord, till sin in all its blackness to captives bound by Satan is revealed. Flow through me, Lord, till hearts are stricken, broken, in thy cleansing fountain, saved and healed. Through me, Lord, till lagging souls are quickened, till lives of failure sing the victory song, till praise from lips long dumb and silent open and join with rap earth's glad cleansing throng. Through me, Lord, till waters from thy fountain shall slake the thirst of souls in desert stream. Flow through me, Lord, till arid places blossom with roses fresh and sweet and wondrous fair. So matchless, perfect, free. Flow through me, Lord, till not in earth or heaven can satisfy my being, Lord, but thee. Yes, Lord. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, that is my prayer for my life personally and for yours, that we would be a light to those in darkness, that we would bring life where there's deserts, to those that are bound and captive and in prisons. Indeed so, so be it. Now I want to go to the passage of scripture that I received today by the casting of lot through the providence of God, which is done with great reverence, separating those apps by the blood of Christ from all defilement. So I have to just scroll down a bit because I narrowed this, I remember. So it'll be down further here. And all I've been doing normally is just pasting in scriptures that maybe stood out more. I end up almost pasting the whole chapter sometimes. So I'm just scrolling to the right position here. Brief, just be patient for a moment. This time I pasted an awful lot of scripture. So the two scriptures I received today were Nehemiah chapter 10 and Ezekiel 14. Now these scriptures are significant because the day before, or the time before when I preached the last message, was on the land, spewing out the inhabitants of the land because of their iniquity. And this indeed is found in Ezekiel 14 to be the case, except more amplified on that topic. In Nehemiah 10, we have them being restored to the land after coming out of their captivity and what God had done in their lives. So first of all, though I have been receiving, and maybe I will, it doesn't really matter to me which chapter I read first, but the first one that I received was Nehemiah chapter 10, but I did take also some of Nehemiah chapter 9 in the context of Nehemiah chapter 10. And so I do want to read some of these portions from Nehemiah chapter 9 first. Always towards the beginning of my message, I get a bit of a dry mouth, but after that, I'm fine. Maybe after one or two zips. Now we read in Nehemiah chapter 9, "Now in the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloth and earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of Yahweh, their Almighty's one, which is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." Another fourth part of the day, or fourth part, they confessed their sin, pardon me, and worshiped the Lord their God. So a whole half day, at least 6 hours. Or possibly more, if it's from sunset to sunrise, depending on the time of the year. They stood with sackcloth, with fasting, and even earth upon their heads. This is after they were restored and came back to the land. There was great repentance as they were abhorrent over the judgment of God that fell upon them and caused their city to be totally burned and the walls destroyed and them sent into captivity for 70 years. And yet still here they are in the time of restoration, in a time of great humbling and of seeking with fasting and prayer the face of and the of God to receive the shining of his blessing upon them. And we go on towards the end of Nehemiah 9 and we read this: "For they have not served thee in their kingdom and in thy great goodness that thou gavest them, and in the large and fat land which thou gavest before them, neither turn they from their wicked works. Behold, we are thy servants this day, and for the land that thou gavest unto our fathers to eat the fruit thereof and the good thereof. Behold, we are servants in it." Remember the hymn we sung? It was all about being a channel through which God could flow through us to be faithful stewards unto his glory, to bring his life in a land that was like drought in the souls of people. That is what I am comparing the land to in this particular instance. Some people, they were black and dark in that hymn. Others were like a thirsty dry land, so empty in their lives and lost trying to fulfill themselves in lying vanities and the deceptions that the enemy led them astray into. We go on and we read another verse in Nehemiah 9, and it says, "And because of all this, we make a sure covenant and write it, and our princes and Levites and priests seal on to it." So when there is real repentance in a nation, and that is what God is calling United States and the churches to, there and around the world, and even more so here in Canada where I am, where there is such terrible corruption in high places and unrighteous laws that have been passed. I guess it would say probably about the same as in the States. And at this point, I feel to remind you that this is a very significant time because there is the special synopsium taking place with Mike Lindell right now in the second day. So even if you're watching this video really soon, which today is August the 11th of 2021, you can go to frankspeech.com and you can watch them exposing how the election was stolen through the computers from China, mostly from China, hacking into the election in all 50 states. They are showing very solid, indisputable evidence. And they have 47 government officials from 47 states represented there, including the president of Brazil, and I'm sure there's other countries. The whole world is watching that. It is a serious time. And there's even events happening because it's like a present time of battle. And they said, we're actually at war right now. And there's things, and in a battle, things are always changing. You plan for the battle, but when the battle happens, you have to change your plans all the time because things constantly change and you move forward. And they said that in the meeting yesterday. And there was a major event that happened and a major announcement happened at 7:15 yesterday, Central Time, on something that was going on in Colorado. And of course, the news media totally lied about it, as they always do. That's the major news networks that are funded by George Soros, which hates Christians and is a communist globalist in alignment with the Chinese Communist Party. And I won't go into all of that. But we are living in a time of serious crisis. And it behooves us to be awakened to what is happening around us, that we would seek the face of God, and that we'd come to the place of making a clear seal in our lives personally and corporately as assemblies, that we will never go back to being the church the way it is, to just having programs and being satisfied and not conquering our community and our city for the glory of God. Now we go to the passage I received today in Nehemiah chapter 10. Now those that were sealed were Nehemiah the Tirshatha, the son of Hakaliah, and Zedekiah. Now it goes on and it gives a long list of the different ones that were sealed. And then we come to verse 28, and it says, "And the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the porters, the singers, the Nethinims, which are the consecrated ones," probably single people that are consecrated, probably men, I don't know, "and all they that had separated themselves from the people of the lands unto the law of God, their wives and their sons and their daughters, every one having knowledge and having understanding." How is that not true today as well? You will notice that often it's the Christian people that have a lot more understanding, insight as to what is going on in the nation where others are being duped by the lying media. And so now persecution is focusing on the Christian. It's the Christians that don't want to get the vaccine. And so they're blaming the Christians. This is the same thing that happened in Nazi Germany. But it's just that the Christians want genuine science. The people that are making decisions are not allowing people to have an open forum where they can hear the top experts that are doctors and them draw proper conclusions so that their decisions are properly made. No, they don't do that. They take advantage, communists do, of situations like this so that they can control people and grab power. And this is what they're trying to do in the States right now, grab power, seize it as quickly as they can to destroy the country so that they will have their power secure. But the Word of God says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise a standard against him. And especially if God's people seek him. If they don't seek him, the opposite can very well happen. But I do believe that many of God's people are beginning to wake up and to recognize the urgency of what is happening, even with the pandemic, how it is being wrongly used. Look at what happened in Australia, and I won't go into that. Where they're being forced by the army to take it, even though there's serious side effects. They know there's at least a minimum of 45,000 people that have died in the States from it. And they think that's even not the full amount because many people don't report into that VARS database. It's way higher than any other vaccines, to the point that Pfizer's now coming out with a drug that's basically equivalent to hydroxychloroquine. I think they're already out with it, if I heard it right. But this is the hour we're living in. It is a time that is very soon to the return of Jesus Christ. So what do we read here? All these people separated themselves, and they clave to their brethren, their nobles, in verse 29, and entered into a curse and an oath to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe and to do all the commandments of the Lord our God and his judgments and his statutes. And that we would not give our daughters unto the people of the land, nor take their daughters for our sons. And if the people of the land bring ware or any victuals on the Sabbath day to sell, that we would not buy it of them on the Sabbath or on the holy day, and that we would leave the seventh year and the exaction of every debt. You see, part of really coming into a love relationship with God is to make a decision and seal that decision. The Lord says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. It's basically a decision of complete abandonment, as that hymn said in the first verse. Totally abandoned unto the Lord with our life. A complete abandonment. Becoming a love slave. It's not a religious duty. It's out of our love for God that he's had mercy on us and forgiven us so much, that he loves us so much, that he has such a jealous love over us. Can you imagine that you personally, he died for on the cross, the one that created a universe that's so vast you can't comprehend. We know how vast the universe is. They say it's about equivalent to the number of grains of sand that exist upon the earth. You know how many stars there are in a galaxy like ours? Billions and many galaxies. And there's billions of galaxies. So some of these stars are 1,000 times greater than the earth. Many of them are larger than the earth. And here we are, and everything indicates that our galaxy and our planet Earth is in about the exact center of this whole universe. And God humbles himself to behold the things that are in the heavens, let alone humble himself to suffer more than you, a mere creature, upon the cross, and suffer more than you, a mere creature, so that you could have a love relationship with him that ever expands in fulfillment and pleasures forevermore throughout eternity, because you will never find ultimate pleasure except in the presence of God. The greatest pleasure in heaven is being the closest to the Father in worship. That's why it promises in Revelation chapter 3 to the church of Philadelphia, which was the victorious church, that they could stay right in the presence of God and never go out. I mean, is the people that have died, like Dean Braxton, although I don't think he's the one that he might have described this, but I do know others that have died, that are genuine Christians, that describe when they came before God the Father. There's vast multitudes. And I don't know if it's like a distance of 50 miles up and 50 miles wide or what, but it's enormous. And you're before the glory of God the Father. Wow. And you can see, as he speaks, sometimes galaxies coming out of his mouth and being created in some other part of the universe. And he starts to sing with God's people as they worship. You know, I could get carried away describing their experience in heaven before the Father, before his holy presence. It is so wonderful beyond comprehension. Just like the word of God said, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for them that love him. There's certain angels before the Father that have a whole bunch of music in their being that comes out in the form of musical instruments. And sometimes God the Father allows everyone to be silent. And they're just still before the Father. And then God the Father sings a love song to them. And the glory of God comes down into their midst in mighty ways. And then out of that, one of these beings sings forth with beautiful instruments and others join in. And there's beautiful things that are happening and creative things. And I won't go on. I'm hardly touching the surface of what happened. And so they can spend time there before the Father and then go forth into his beautiful creation where they're given creative things to do according to the way God gifted them, whether it's in music, to write music, or whatever it is. Many creative things to express their worship unto God and to serve out of love where there is no sin. And I could go on and talk a long time about heaven. And how personal God is. He comes out of that great light of the Father with a smaller but more bright focused light to people as individuals in the Son. Who is the full expression of the Father as mentioned in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. So here we are. In this passage of scripture here. And we have the Sabbath, which means cessation. And the reason for the Sabbath is that we would learn not to trust in our own sufficiency and to grasp after things out of our own sufficiency in order to fulfill what we think God wants in our service to find fulfillment in our own lives in relationship to him even, although most of the people go astray even from serving God when they don't learn to curb back their own presumptuous self-initiation of what they assume they are to do with their lives before God if they're believers or have any measure of desire and commitment to him. God is wanting us to learn to cease from that. And so we learn to set aside time when we would really like to be doing our business and making money because we got all these goals because we want to have this in our life and that in our life. And the Lord's saying, no, seek first my kingdom and his righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you. If you sacrifice that, and learn to trust me. Do you not think I can provide your needs? I had to learn the hard way, and it was a process of many, many decades of working on the internet, and I won't go into it, because I could talk a long time, and I want to focus on the message. But I thought God wanted me to make a bunch of money on the internet in order to serve him. Now I see that's not right, and so I'm putting him first, and just writing these books that I know he's called me to write instead of doing these other things, with all my domain names and so on, that I think will cause me to make a lot of money. Yeah, my motive was pure to serve him, but I was trusting in my own ways. I was presumptuous. I wasn't seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, although I thought I was. But God is wanting his people to repent and to complete to a place where they learn to cease from their own works so that he can work through them, as it said in that hymn, "Let God flow through me." We need to let the river of life flow through us in abundance. The Lord spoke to me to double my prayer time at a time when I was desperate. It was just when the COVID was coming out, about 10 months ago or whatever it was. And I was at a place where I said, "Yeah, Lord, I'll do that if it means I can have a closer love relationship with you and know you in a greater way. Lord, I'll do that if I can have a more fruitful ministry and more victory in my life. Yeah, 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 it's worth it. I'm hungry for you." As King David said, the Lord said unto me, "Seek my face." And I said to the Lord, "Yes, thy face will I seek, O Yahweh." The other word that's closely associated with the word Sabbath is the word wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Now, I've studied in the symbolic letters of the Hebrew language, which go way back, as you know, and you can go to my website at Love Realized and look at those symbolic letters. I could bring it up now and briefly show it to you, but I don't think it's worth going and getting too distracted by those things. You go ahead and do that. It's up there on the top menu, Hebrew letters. You can go back. But those Hebrew letters, there's a dictionary called, it starts with the letter A, but it'll be up there, at least the name of it, its abbreviation. And it gives the meaning of those symbolic letters. And so you get a lot of meaning out of a word when you look at those letters. And so I did study the word wait in the past, and so I'm going by memory, but I remember that some of the things that the word wait had in it, waiting on the Lord, was the understanding of water collecting in a pool where you open yourself up. Instead of grasping, doing your own thing, you cease and you open yourself up so that the rain can collect in the pool, so that you receive the life of God, that we might know the exceeding greatness of his power that raised Christ from the dead, Paul said in his prayer to the believers, that he wanted them to know that power in their lives, to them that believe, that trust in him. The other aspect of the meaning of the word wait is in the symbol of a rope being twined together. Because as we learn to cease from our own presumptuousness before God and to be still and know that he is God and come into utter reverence and awe of whose presence we are in. A lot of churches don't know how to be still because they're so religious. If they're still, they panic. But we need to be sensitive to when the Spirit is moving us to be still and know that he is God. And when the Spirit is moving us to move into expressions of praise and worship and to prophesy, when we're sensitive to God in the fear of God. I have been in a congregation where that function often happened because there was a great measure of the fear of God and of humility. I don't know if that church is still walking in that first love relationship. To be honest, I haven't seen the evidence of it, and the fact that they would only have a major meeting since this COVID thing once a month really bothers me. I hope they come and pray and get so in love with God that they want to meet all the time together as an assembly. But who am I to judge what's going on there? But kind of let down to me, because I loved going to that church back in where I live and when I used to live near North Vancouver. God knows, but he's calling his people to enter in to waiting on him until there's an identity in him that becomes as strong as a rope, as a threefold cord that cannot be broken. Oh, hallelujah. as we wait on God, as the early church did, then there's a time of God's visitation that happens. So, I want to go on here. Now I want to go to Ezekiel, the other chapter I received, which is where we see a lot about what was in the last message I gave about God spewing out the inhabitants of the land. So let us read this passage now. Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet, I the Lord will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. So he's going to answer him in judgment. And he goes on to say that that answer is going to result in that he will take the house of Israel in their own heart because they are estranged from me through their idols. And then in verse 6 he says, therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, that is often, sometimes it's Adonai. It could be because it's in smaller letters here that it's an Adonai, but it's often Yahweh, the Almighty's one. Repent and turn yourselves from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me, and setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, Yahweh, will answer him myself. And I will set my face against that man and make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and ye shall know that I am the Lord, or Yahweh. And now we skip down from there to verse 13. Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out mine hand upon it, and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith Yahweh, the Almighty's one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land, and they spoil it, so that it be desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beasts. So you see again that God brings judgment upon the land, so as it was in the message last time, the land spews out the inhabitants of the land. And I mentioned that in the United States there's Yellowstone National Park, and how that it's becoming more active, and that volcano, if it went off, it would destroy much of the United States. You see, God is angry because the church is still setting up idols in their hearts. And he's calling for his people to repent. I pray that they have now, by now, repented through this crisis. I do not know fully where the church is at. I need better connection. I am going to be pursuing better connections with ministries throughout the states or wherever God leads, because I want this message to catch, because God is calling his people to repent. Because when his wrath comes upon a land, because the land itself is wanting to spew out the inhabitants, as well, because there's bad vibrations from all the iniquity that are literally affecting the planet. We saw that in Hosea chapter 2. You can go check that out in the previous message. The wrath becomes so great that even the most righteous people Only they themselves are spared and their family isn't spared, even though their family is a righteous family. The idols God is calling his people to repent of are the gods of idleness. The word of God commands us to redeem the time, for the days are evil. We spend hours watching sports, don't we? I'm not saying that it's going to be a sin because you want to relax and watch a game for a while, but when people spend all their time and their emotions as Christians watching sports and they think it's okay to spend all that time when they could be praying and seeking God and doing other creative things to reach the lost or whatever, they are going astray and they are being hardened. Because all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of God the Father, but is of the world, and the world passes away in the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. God is saying, come back to your first love. Forsake the amusements, the gods of amusements, the gods of idleness, the gods of materialism, where you're obsessed with making money. Look at all the people that play these games of idleness that have no profit. Maybe there's a game where you can learn a language or learn something so it's profitable. It doesn't have evil things in the game, of course. The other thing God wants his people to repent of is limiting the fullness of the hedge of Christ from inhabiting their local assembly. I even go to Pentecostal churches where hardly anyone is worshiping God with all their heart and moved and filled with the Spirit so that tongues come flowing out of them in a beautiful language of utterance. So many people just sit there like a bump in a log because the shepherds just let them do it. They don't facilitate the body to be moving in the gifts of the Spirit. Man, if people are so used to letting everyone at the front do everything that they sit there and they don't move in the gifts of the Spirit. And this must be repented of. The Lord wants each member in the body, when we assemble together, to be able to worship, and when the Spirit moves on them, to be able to be free to express whatever comes forth, whether it's a song or a word or a testimony. So there's a bit of mess because we're learning. Who's in control? Who are you trusting? Are you the one controlling the meeting? Are you the one that owns the sheep? No, you're not, shepherd. You're a steward and a servant of the sheep. God's calling the shepherds to be true servants of the sheep and to love them so much that they can express themselves and their gifts to others and their burdens and their cares to others. My, if they're so used to being passive, have meetings where each one can share for 5 minutes or 10 minutes. Share their testimony, share what they've been receiving through maybe casting lots from the Word or some other way. Share, let them learn to share. Edify one another. So when you come together, the Spirit of God can move in the meeting. And if all prophesy, they will know that God is in their midst if an unsaved person comes in the midst. And by prophesy, I don't mean telling the future. I mean speaking as the oracles of God, because you're filled with the Spirit, and speaking out of that whatever has been deposited in you of revelation. We go on and we read this. Though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughters. They only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. Or if I bring a sword upon that land and say, sword, go through the land, so that I cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves. That's Noah. That's Job. These were righteous people. And that's Daniel. Can you imagine that? Or if I send a pestilence into the land and pour out my fury upon it in blood. Now we've got a pestilence in the land. That's for sure. It's around the whole world. To cut off from it man and beast, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you. I don't want to discourage you. I want you to rise up and be victorious in your life and to settle for nothing less than being an overcomer of all things. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, it says, and what is it? Revelations chapter, I think it might be chapter 19. But many of us have quenched our thirst with the loves of the world. So we're not thirsty and we're not desperate for God. And we read here, yet behold, therein just shall be left a remnant that shall be brought forth, both sons and daughters. Behold, they shall come forth unto you, and ye shall see their way and their doings. And ye shall be comforted concerning the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem, even concerning all that I brought upon it. And they shall comfort you when ye shall see their ways and their doings. And ye shall know that I have not done without cause all that I have done in it, saith the Almighty's One. I should say Yahweh, the Almighty's One, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Or Adonai, the Almighty's One. Brothers and sisters, this is what the Holy Spirit is saying at this particular time. He is calling his people to wake up, and he will hear your cry. I have a book called God, Headship, and Body Invasion. I've got a better version up there in the electronic form and in the print form now. And this book shows basically a lot that you don't need to do, a lot of good suggestions for communion, for water baptism, talks a lot about tongues, goes into depth into the seven ones of Ephesians and many other things. It's about my conflict and struggle to see in the body of Christ the end time move of God's Spirit, the glory of God come down in the midst, his house become a house of prayer. And so it shares a strategy, which is God's strategy for the last days, to fulfill John 17, to not limit the fullness of the headship of Christ from inhabiting the body, or the Lord coming down and finding his resting place in his people in marriage to them, that the darkness might be broken over your community as it was in the great Welsh revival. But now this must have the new wineskin, the new order that is under the headship of Christ come into the body of Christ for these last days, so that what is contained within that does not dissipate from a great revival, but ever increases unto the coming of Jesus Christ for his bridegroom. That is what God wants to happen in your assembly. Are you going to wake up and let his glory come down into your midst and have a love relationship with him? A wonderful feast with him of heaven coming down into your midst? Or are you going to be asleep and not ready for this hour to reap the harvest and to bring your land out of the oppression of tyranny through your prayers of intercession? Even if your community can come together to fast and pray for 3 days without food and water or anything else, if you can do it, not everyone can do that. Is it worth it to see at this time in such an hour of crisis the land delivered from almost being taken over by an oppressive Marxist government? Oh God, have mercy that there may be years, at least a time of a great harvest that would come and deliverance in the United States because God's people get desperate and they cry out to him. So I pray that you'd help me out by getting this book and reading it and implementing it into your congregation. I'm in debt from the mistakes I've made in the past, but I'm fine. I'm holding fine, but I do want to see people spreading this book and it catching fire. This is an evangelistic book. I've got a far better version up there now than the one I got here. It's just a super abridged edition. I'm coming out with a really quite a big book on life after death. I'm not going to tell you what the title of it is. It's on all the... I've read the book by John Berkey, I believe it is, called Imagine Heaven. But I go into a lot more detail in other aspects than he does and cover things that he hasn't covered from many aspects. It's going to be a very good book on life after death, and it really focuses on believers and what they've experienced in heaven and contrasts it to what all other people have experienced, because they haven't experienced that. You won't find any unbelievers that have experienced entering heaven that are genuine Christians. But you do find people that have died that are genuine Christians, and what they describe is so wonderful. So get your eyes on the joy that is set before you so you can endure the trials that are coming and see breakthrough in your nation. God bless you all, and thank you for listening to this message.